Good afternoon, patrons, and for the benefit of those listening back to the audio, you're listening to Ask James, my regular YouTube live stream, for which this week I denied access to everybody. They can have the Game Week Review podcast tomorrow, and I can waste my time with questions on the deadline stream. You lot can do it now. Welcome to Ask James. It is just coming up to 10 past 3 UK time on Thursday, December the 7th, otherwise known as Planet FPL Derby Day. We are circa, no one's counting, 5 hours and 5 minutes to kick off. Sorry for being a little bit late. You know I like to do that fashionably. And I had a little bit of a gremlin in the works, which is known as it's pissing down with rain outside, and I didn't want to connect to the Wi-Fi in this room, but it's all sorted now. I hope everything should be absolutely fine. For those who joined in live, thank you very much for your cues, comments. You don't need to like this shit or anything like that. It's not important. For those who submit questions, perhaps listening and watching back, thank you very much. I will get through every comment and question that's in here when I've got to the end. That will be the end of the podcast / stream. So, let's get into the queues. Neil Thompson says, afternoon. Hope you got Harry to school without any rain. I did. Thank you. Sleep is overrated when you get the time to spend like that. Who needs FPL points anyway? Hope you and Pedro Porro have a great night. Sorry, Surge. Fuck Surge. Seriously, guys. Like, it's Planet FPL Derby Day. He's nothing to me. Nothing, I tell you. Hollis Stammer says, hello, James. If no injuries or suspensions happen tonight, would you rather start the sales next game week or Porro for -4? Needs an attacking return, doesn't it? And the reality is, at probability, it's less likely than likely. So it's just the sales, mate. It's just the sales. Would it be, you know, even if a ravaged Newcastle, even if they have problems tonight, would it shock you that much if they were able to come to White Hart Lane and walk away with a 0-0 or a 1-0? No. I said this at live show, and I think it still very much applies, that from a defensive viewpoint, and they've both got really tough fixtures this week, Arsenal and Newcastle were the two teams you can trust the most, I think. Now, that might change a little bit with, obviously, Nick Pope's injury, but let's give it a chance. I think those two teams, I know Arsenal was in a 4-3 the other day, but those two teams feel less likely to be involved in carnage than many of the other teams at the moment. That's how it feels to me. I think they're both defensively well set up, pretty solid, generally speaking. I mean, look at Arsenal the other day, right? You can see two goals from a corner. One's a goalkeeper's fault and the goalkeeper throws another one in, right? So if they defend a set piece well originally, and if the goalkeeper turns up, they don't concede the other night, right? So, I mean, look, I would play Porro over Lascelles. That's not in question for me as it stands. That opinion might change tonight. You know, who knows? Maybe Son and Romero will get injured tonight and will feel very different about Sunday, for example. But as per usual, holla, -4s for defenders. No, not big, mate. Porro falls into the category where you can consider it because of the offensive potential. But it's not offensive potential with an expectation of a clean sheet in the first instance. Whereas, say, you know, if you took a -4 for Trent this week, just gone, playing Sheffield United, that's subject to what you're selling. You can make a case to say that's pretty reasonable. For Porro against Newcastle, let's see how we feel tomorrow. But the reality is, mate, I think it's just playlist sales. Milan Razavi says, hey, James, hope your family are well. Who would you suggest is the most nailed from Bournemouth and Fulham mids as Mbeumo replacements, or is Sterling the better option? Sterling's on 4 yellers, and that's not going to go away. He's safe for 16. If he gets booked on Sunday at Everton, Sheffield United misses. If he gets booked against Sheffield United, he's missing in the blank. That would be a huge... miss either of them would be a huge pain. On the face of it, I think Raheem Sterling is a great call. In terms of Fulham and Bournemouth, you want nailed. The only ones I can give you, mate, are the ones that aren't of interest to you. So, Lewis Cook. It's probably Ryan Christie at the moment. João Paulinho. You want nail, those are the answers, mate. None of them are considerations for FPL at the moment. I have considered Marcus Tavernier because he didn't start last night, which could be a classic FPL overthink. But it might be a get him in, I don't play him this week, and then I play him 17-18. Might be part of a really, really bizarre logic. I don't think I go there, but that would maybe be the one. I think because they've got two home games and the returns seem to land at home, and I know they didn't last night particularly, and I think he assisted, didn't he? But Willian maybe for Fulham, specifically with game week 18 in mind, because he... I'd say he very may well not start at Newcastle in game week 17, but then maybe you need it for game week 17 as well. But I'm guessing because you mentioned Fulham, you probably don't so much, maybe. So now I think, to be honest, both of them probably off the table for me. Cliver is a decent one as enabler. Whether he stays in the team would be questionable. Like I'd say, there's every chance maybe he doesn't start Old Trafford. Perhaps Philip Billing might start instead. So, yeah, it's not good. It's not the nailed ones are the ones you don't want. Milan says, another question. Is Kulusevski a genuine option for FPL in the absence of Madders because he has more responsibility for creativity? He certainly has more. Yep. That's unquestionable. I wouldn't say I was alarmed, but you need to be aware that we can't be sure where he's going to play at the moment. I think we can tonight. But after tonight, you know, Richarlison might come back in the team on Sunday and that might change the situation where he stays on the week in a sanctuary a lot. Also, perhaps Saar might be back Sunday. That might push Kulusevski back out to the right permanently. There's a few question marks that I think on the offensive Tottenham players, the next two games should give us the answers going into Forest and Everton. What I can tell you as a piece of good news on Dejan Kulusevski is, as long as he's fit, not only will he start every game, he'll probably play all of the games, i.e. he ain't even going to get subbed off, mate. He's going to play every minute. And that, over this period in itself, makes him a potentially interesting player. So Deki will come into the thinking for me, because there's a lot of players that I look at this, and you know, even like Johnson, I'd rather go for Johnson, to tell you the truth. But exactly what I've just said with Richarlison, it might cause a bit of confliction. And the three teams I really want to target, right, are Tottenham, Newcastle and Villa. They're the three. And there's consideration for Chelsea a little bit, obviously. Bournemouth, as I just mentioned. I think Wolves looks great for this weekend, but I'm not so big on 17 and 18 for them. City are good for the next two. That's useless for me for 18. So it's still, for me, it's building Tottenham, Newcastle, Villa. There's a little bit of regret that I probably didn't buy Pedro Porro this week, just gone, for Matty Cash. Hindsight's a bitch, because that could be what I end up doing this week anyway. So I think it's still Tottenham first. Still Tottenham first. Like, you think about people like Leon Bailey as and Bumo replacement. Yeah, I'd rather come for that last and like game week 18, I think. Even Gordon this week doesn't feel so great. It's probably more 17, 18. With them, I want the information of how many minutes for Newcastle tonight, Sunday, and Wednesday against Milan. So still, he probably is going to be a Tottenham player this week, I think. Unless I just go Sanchez to in for Johnston, which was the original plan. And if I go to Tottenham, I've tied myself into the three players. But I might myself feel more confident about something tonight. I do like that aspect of Kulusevski for the short period that he's going to get 90 minutes each game. And it's three decent fixtures, right? Newcastle at home is very tough. Everton's away record's been good. It's a tough home game. Travelling to Forest won't be easy. You know, might even have a new manager in place. But there's three good fixtures and you're going to get 270 minutes of someone who certainly, yeah, I think the way you sell it, Milan, is quite right. He has got more responsibility at the moment. Like, even the equaliser at the weekend, I think in a different place and time, he probably doesn't take responsibility. You might remember me saying a few weeks ago that he has to work on that. His ability to get into the box when the ball's on the left-hand side, it's a very un-Kulusevski goal, both in its heading and its execution. So I think he's a reasonable get, actually, Dejan Kulusevski. I couldn't even tell you what price he is. I feel like I need to... That's how little I've looked at him and how little I generally think that he'd be an option. But it might be that if I decide I want to go into a Tottenham player this week, I mean, for me, again, it's going to kill me off of Porro. And what I don't like about it is I know with Cash, Udogi, Lascelles, I've got to have a problem there somewhere defensively. And the top pick is Pedro Porro. So if I get Kulusevski, that's me dead, because I've then got three Tottenham in. He's seven exactly, Kulusevski. So it's a very reasonable pickup. Sell price all season, certainly be a big differential. We actually sold him very recently in the differential team. I see Nico's posted a video of me heading a piece of paper, which he proper shot me with the other day. He proper jipped me as well, wanker. Andrew Gronin says, hi James, feels like it's time to sell Johnston. Who would you go for? I have Newcastle and Liverpool triple up, so their cheapies aren't an option for me. Dirty Sanchez or bust. So don't rush with Sanchez is the first bit of advice, because we do know that the backup goalkeeper, Petrovic, was not only warming up at half time yesterday, but also in the early part of the second half. Now, Sanchez has finished the game, but he wouldn't be the first footballer to finish a game and then next day it's like, oh, whatever problem that was is worse. Chelsea have been quite honest and upcoming, I think, with their injury situation this year. So certainly don't buy tonight. Like, even if his price was to be going up tonight, you've got to let that go, I think, because there would be nothing worse. I haven't decided yet. And I think, look, there's stuff tonight that could obviously change my mind. That was always the plan with Johnston or Sanchez in 16. Probably having watched quite a bit of that game last night, like, what's my actual confidence in Chelsea keeping clean sheets at Everton and Wolves? And I would say, it's not big. So if he doesn't kick a clean sheet against Sheffield United, well, I might as well just fucking stay where I am with Johnston, right? I agree, it's definitely time to get rid. Now, if you're looking longer term, as long as he's fit, I can't make a case for it not to be Sanchez. I've had another look today about Sanchez and Johnston on wildcard, because Johnston, although he'd be shit, like, there's 3 weeks where I could do without playing Sanchez, and in two of them, they've got Sheffield United at Burnley at home. And I just think, yeah, that's actually the best one to cover Sanchez's bad fixtures. So it doesn't seem to make sense. I could go Turner to Dubravka, which will put me in a better position for 17-18. Subject again to what I see tonight and feel, it might be that I'd still just play Johnston this weekend against Liverpool rather than Dubravka at Tottenham. I'm going to have conflictions there either way as a Son and a Darwin Nunez owner. So it might come down to which one I've got more confidence in to keep a clean sheet. I mean, I wouldn't fancy anyone to kick a clean sheet at Tottenham, to be honest. He's almost just as likely someone like West Ham does it tonight, in terms of, like, can we create? And I guess Newcastle fall into that line. So it might even be for me that I just go Dubravka and go, this week's shit, get it in as cover for Turner. Keep Johnston's value, have him in goal 17-18. I'll carry a bit of value in that, obviously. And then decide what I want to do longer term. I still think it'd be Sanchez and wildcards. So I'm still tempted to go there. If you're wondering, no, I can't go Turner to Sanchez now. I'm not that fussed about losing the 0.1 on Johnston. But I don't know. If that's who I want to go with anyway, maybe. Which... we could look at it now. Palace are fucked about Decore. They might buy someone in that position and might sort it out by the time I want it sorted. So I think Sanchez is probably the call, the right call, particularly in your case, as you can't go Dubravka at the moment. I'm struggling. This week's shit, right? It's shit for defences. It really is. And I think we have to remember that. So I think Sanchez is the right answer, but you can't go early. Andrew says, Q Darwin with 12 shots on target at Palace and the Johnston 9-pointer. Well, exactly. One of the things I've been thinking is, Well, imagine if Johnston got one clean sheet. This is what I'm thinking. And he's unlikely, right? Liverpool at home, Man City away, Brighton at home. But imagine he gets one clean sheet in them three games. Just one. They fluked one. They won 1-0. Is every chance he'll pull in a 10-pointer in now to go with probably a couple of other twos because he'll have to make saves in other games. So say he got 14 points if he gets one clean sheet. Right. For Sanchez to beat that, then I probably need him to get two clean sheets. That makes sense. This is the sort of thing I'm deliberating because I'm in such a short-term thought process. And there is that, right? Yeah. What if Palace did hold Liverpool out at the weekend? Could he hit like a top bonus and a few save points? Yeah. I might even just suffer it. Matthew Hogben says, hello, James. Sky question. Moving on, Diaby. Would you go Gordon or Porro until the overhaul? Already have Romero. Cheers. It's a close one. Might sound like a weird one, but if you've only got one Liverpool, I'd probably prefer Gordon. Just purely as your secondary coverage for the Liverpool-Newcastle game on New Year's Day. Rather than, I've got to buy someone at the end. You know, if you captain him, fuck it. It's not great, but you just captain him. If that's your circumstance, I'd probably prefer that. If you don't have Son, then I would, and you've only got Romero. Where's your question gone? Who did you say you have? You already have Romero, right? Have you already got Romero? That's something doing. You just held on to him, I guess. If you don't have Son, then I'd rather you got Porro and went the double Tottenham. So it is a little bit affected. It's close enough that I would honestly be thinking about it, about the other players in my squad. Because to be honest, they'll probably score very similar, I think. Andrew Flannery says, hi, James. Hope all is good. James or Stones for the next few weeks? Are they both too risky considering minutes and injury history? Plenty of money in the bank. I could go straight to Trippier. Yeah, do you know what? Even on the four yellows, I think I'd prefer Trips. Well, Man City kept four clean sheets this season. I think two of them were in game weeks one and two. Now, John Stones being missing is quite a big part of that, admittedly. But there has to be enough concern about them. Also, what use is that to you in 18? If you're free hitting in 18, then I understand that a lot more. Reece James is not even in my thinking, honestly. As I said earlier with Sanchez, what's my expectations on clean sheet? Everton and Wolves, not huge. Sheffield United at home. I think Gary said this really well the other week. He's like, what do you think they're going to do if they're 3-0 up against Sheffield United at halftime? Take them off. Why hasn't he started last night? He started Cucurella ahead of him, right back. Well, what's the thinking there? What is that? He's obviously managing him. He doesn't look himself. Just watching him doesn't look himself. Delivery, the way he kicks a football, strikes it, etc. is all great. We know his capability. Don't look right to me. So, despite the fact they'd have one of the better fixtures this week, he's just nowhere near my thinking, Reece James. Not interested. And I think that applies to any Chelsea defender at the moment. No interest. No interest for FPL. I think if I had to buy one right now, because I'd landed in a problem, I think for me, I'd buy Thiago Silva, I think. Because he's the only one I'm absolutely certain is going to play. It's not like he can't score from a set piece or something. I think I'd just do that. Now, over that Christmas period, that's rough, Thiago Silva. But because our wild card in 19, I'd get rid. And get rid. That's a shit. It's a boring pick, but it also potentially does the job in the short term. So I would rather, right now, for me, on next three games, I'd rather buy Thiago Silva than Reece James. Could Thiago Silva be benched against Sheffield United? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I've got no real interest burning. And even what I said, that's about that Sanchez move now, which has been the plan for buying Sanchez in this week. It's been the plan for about 8 weeks, I think. Andrew Flannery says, hi, James. Hope all is good. That's what we've just done. Yeah, just it's neither for me, Andrew. Sorry, mate. It all looks shit this week. JB says, hi, James. If double 20 is gone, are you holding wildcard to game with 20 instead of 19? As I assume original plan was wildcard, then triple captain Haaland. Nah, it's just manoeuvring 18 and 19 anyway. So he's still got Sheffield United at home in game with 20. So The double doesn't make any difference to the planning. The only difference for me would be, it, right, if the double happens, then yeah, sure, I'm using the triple captainship. It would actually change nothing for me. My intention would be to go three Manchester City players on wildcard. It's not going to change anything for me, whether they double or not. And it's not to say I will, by the way, but that's the intention. And I probably just would. Alvarez, Foden, Haaland is my expectation for a little bit, and then view it afterwards. Might even be that it's John Stones. Might feel more comfortable about it by then. Wouldn't be surprised, because he's the one I wanted in prior to game week one. And I get, like, to go back to Andrew's question, I get why you want John Stones. Just I'd wait a little bit, I think. But it might be that it's right for me on wildcard. So, no, you have to probably, as member, JB, I guess from the perspective of if you're a non-Haaland owner and you've got like Salah, Son and stuff, I get it a little bit more. There would maybe be a case to carry through Newcastle players for 19, little bit better, and then wild card off. Yep, I get that as a perspective. I can understand that. Villa players I'll have and I'd want to keep anyway. Tottenham might mean that I keep Son an extra week, but I think to be honest, if I wildcard in 19-20, my intention with those two fixtures, Brighton and Bournemouth, would have been keep Son before he goes to the Asia Cup anyway and just sell him. And with Liverpool's two, Burnley away, Newcastle, it'd be an interesting way to play this. But I think probably having my team set up without Salah, it's not gone too badly, actually. But longer term, I'd like to leave myself in a position where it becomes easy to get Salah and Son back. And they're not going to be missing as long as we think they are. Like, they're not holds, they're sales. But to get both back, which could be quite conceivable, in the sense that, as in, we'll want to get them straight back. Considering Tottenham's fixtures, so it could be like Wolves at home in 25, Brighton at home 24. If he comes back earlier, you definitely want him back. Salah could come back, walk into Burnley at home. And there is a small chance it could even be Burnley and Luton at home, double game week, triple captaincy, right? So there is a thought of part of wildcarding for me, re-networking so that I have Salah and Son. They go in 19 with Haaland, sell them, leave the money, don't spend it. Leave the money. Go in for a couple of players who've got a good sort of 3-4 game period till they're back available. Dive in, dive out. So it might be like, as an example, it might be without European football that I go, right, I'm going to punt in Mitoma, Wolves, Luton, Palace, and flip it back. Something like that, and just leave the money. I don't need to make that decision yet. I'll make it over Christmas. That's fine, because I need to have something like that. I'd go, yeah, I like that enough to think that's my route. And obviously, depends on money for other players and stuff like that as well, right? I might even look at it and go, maybe Trent is back on my radar. Maybe I do want that, because Tsimikas isn't going to be an option forever, right? So I get what you're saying about waiting 20. I'll consider it in terms of I'd need to look at how I'm set up. It might be dependent for me in terms of whether I get Salah in 19. But I think it's more with the fixtures the three players have got in 19, Son against Bournemouth, Son at Brighton, Haaland at Everton, Salah at Burnley. Sure, three away games, but they're three decent away games. That's the thinking at the moment, just purely as well because, like, I don't have Palmer. I don't have Gordon. I don't have Huang. There are others, cheaper ones, you know, Cliver, Bellegarde, Lo Celso might all become injured. Lo Celso is probably not one for a wild card. Where I look at it and think, and again, there's nothing wrong with my setup because I've had more of these Bowens, Martinelli, Saka's, Sons, right? But with Salah and Son, I think we need to put in that back in that top level now as well. That there's nothing to not go for these Gordons and Palmers and stuff like that. So it's more for me rearranging that. And I probably want to keep Saka part of it as well. So, and Haaland. I mean, in my head, I know, know, Salah, Son, Saka, Haaland, Watkins, and then it's a couple from your Palmer Gordons. Do I want Bowen a part of that? Bowen's one that could certainly fall into that, dipping in for Son for a few weeks, for example, because I've got Arsenal away in 19, so it could be an off, come back on for a little bit. Haaland, Watkins up front, plus one more, probably Alvarez, and again, it's rotatable selection, but I've remodeled it. I've never, you would have heard me say it a lot, I can't, looked at so many, can I get Mo, and it was always just making my team worse. So for me, coming back to do that in 19 is probably going to be the right idea, but yeah, I'll look at it. I think 19 would be popular enough that the value will be there for it as well. And it's get straight back into Haaland will be the biggest one, because he almost definitely gets sold. Now, if I land there and I go, well, actually, shit, I'm going to go Isak in 18 for Alvarez, it's just not going to work for me, I don't think. But if I did and left Haaland on the bench, then that's the sort of one where, and I didn't go maybe Mo Salah and just went, yeah, I'll stick to it. Might be one more to go, yeah, okay, let's wait one more. But then I miss Salah 19 as well. And I might choose by then that I'm happy to miss Mo Salah for 19. So I did say, for those, the advanced tiers, you saw my video this morning, I said I'd have a proper look at it today. Not at time particularly. But it's in there. You know, Pedro Porro is one I want as part of that wild card. He's got to go in. There's enough there that's going to want to make me change it quicker, I think. Good question, though. JB says, best punts for Boomer replacements if wildcard 19-20. Already had Palmer. So all I can do at this stage, I can't give you the answer because I don't know the answer, because I need to make my own decision. And tonight might have an influence on that. Or again, I said this to on the Zoom call we did yesterday. I said this to, who did that? Was it Neil Thompson I said it to? No, I think it was Alex. And we had a long discussion about something, and I said, but you know what FPL is like, right? The gods will decide for you tonight. And the gods decided that Mbeumo would be injured, right? So now that's more of a priority than what we discussed yesterday was now irrelevant. So I certainly wouldn't want to get to a position where I go, yeah, do you know what? It's Gordon. And then tonight Son gets injured and the game changes again for me, as an example. So tomorrow morning I should know, I think. But players under consideration, I would say, and I think it's fair to shout out some names. So Gordon, definitely. For me, Miguel Almiron is under consideration as well. That's partly on the thinking of if I ended up with both Almiron and Gordon. It's not impossible for me. If say something had happened to Isak, maybe. So those two under consideration. Kulusevski, you mentioned. Brennan Johnson is under consideration. Lo Celso, I don't mind, but part of getting Lo Celso for me would be probably a decision that says you're going to Trippier, James. It would probably be part of that, right? You're building a Trippier 17 or 18. Douglas Luiz is under consideration. Leon Bailey's under consideration. With Leon Bailey, though, I think that's got to be an 18 decision. The other thing for me is whoever I buy, I probably won't start this week. That's genuinely true. Because I'm still sitting there with Saka, Martinelli, Son, and Bowen. Now, there might be a few players I might bring in and start instead of Martinelli, for example. Scott McTominay is not out the running because of that. Might sound ridiculous, but they use him as a shadow, right? They don't want him on the ball, but can't just keep ignoring the fact that he arrives in the box at the right time. When he gets there, he does seem to finish quite well. I could get him. I could play him instead of Martinelli this week. I'm to Bournemouth. Might sound silly. Bench him at Liverpool. And then finally, he's a body for me against West Ham. He's not an impossible, because again, he's of that enabling price. I think for Chelsea at the moment, it's only Palmer for me, because that Sterling four yellows would haunt me. Can't go Modric at the moment. Gallagher, no real interest. Kudos is going to be a no for me. I'd rule him out. Any other Brentford or Brighton player would rule out as an option. Palace not an interest. Huang is under consideration, but I know that he won't be for me, really, because I know that I should have gone and bought him in a week. Now, I couldn't have foreseen Bumo getting injured, but I'd hate myself for that because I know I should have been buying him earlier in the week. Forest nothing. Fulham. Again, I am aware that I don't mind playing Martinelli against Brighton, but I don't particularly want to look at him against Villa or Liverpool away. And Fulham's rough fixture 17 and 16 at home to West Ham and at home to Burnley in 18. He's not bad. And I think I would go Willian of them. And I just got fucking Harry Wilson haunts in my head. Like, what are you doing, James? But I'll talk about this more on the pod tomorrow. They've changed something recently, which actually is what I spoke about on one of the pods we did after they played Wolves. They're trying overloads in wide areas and they're having some success where they're using the 2-8s in much wider areas to create a little bit more dominance. And because Paulinho is such a good ball winner, they can leave him. And they're having a bit of success for that. And it might not last long, but it's working for them at the moment. Tom Kearney's playing really well, really well. He was great in that game against Wolves. Everton's a no. Bournemouth aren't out to run him for differing reasons. I mentioned Tavernier, Cliver. It's all a bit punty, that. Burnley's off the table. I said Luka Koleosho, his season might be over. Such a shame, young boy. Luton, Sheffield United, obviously not of attention. So I think Gordon Palmer and the kind of rogue ones like Willian, for me, and McTominay, he's not out of it, you know. He's not out of it. Gary will be so pleased when I Gary Robinson. But we'd have to consider it because I think that's a decent one for this weekend. But they'll find that game tougher against Bournemouth at the weekend. So there's a lot of names there for you. Bowen, obviously consider the ones I don't have. So Jared Bowen, I think, is a great pickup. And would probably be near the top of the shop, actually. I mean, it's not the best free fixtures, Fulham, Wolves, Man United. But it's okay for a clear talisman like that. So I think Gordon's the most likely one for me, but I keep looking at it and going, so what? Like, get him in and play him against Udogi. Or do I get him in and bench him and get it ready for 17-18 and haven't got the full information? And it's things like that, and I think should just fix like the cash Porro problem. Then suddenly I'm sitting there with no Villa, when I know deep in my heart cash could be useful for 18, but I'm also not getting the information on that unless one of the defensive players or Leon Bailey got injured. So I'd probably just like to roll again, to be honest. And it might even be, by the way, that I come to a conclusion on Emi Martinez as a really short one. Could be. That don't feel right. Oh, I'm going to buy Emi Martinez in for Arsenal at home. It's not right, is it? I might as well just fucking plug away with Johnston for a week. Sweet Blues says, hi, James. Love the little morning walk video. I'm very much having the same thoughts about wildcarding now. Want to push it to next week, ideally, but Trippier yellow tonight would lock it in, I think. I mean, I was half asleep, right? I'm not going to be wild carding this week, but yeah, if I had shit hit the fan tonight, like Son, Udogi, and Bowen all get injured or something, then I got to do it. I think when I listed some of the players that were obviously under big consideration for me for the wild card in 19, a lot of it I've got. So it's just not real any justification for me. Just I'm only making 18 more awkward for myself. Sure, I could flip like an Alvarez to Watkins. I don't need to, do I? Alvarez probably plays again against Luton at the weekend. It's like, it's not shit yourself moments, is it? So, and Trippier reality is suspension. You say Trippier locks you in, right? Away to Tottenham this weekend. What's the over expectation on that? Remember when he went on that mad run before the World Cup? Trips. There's only one game he didn't return in. It was Tottenham away. And that was a shit Tottenham at that point. So you weren't desperate for returns or overly expecting this week, were you? Anyway, so I don't think Trippier having a one-game suspension should lock you in. I'd be more pleased about it. If I was sitting there with Trippier, I'd be thinking, get booked tonight. That's honestly what I'd be thinking, because you don't want him to miss 17 or 18. So if he gets a 1 point tonight and gets no points on Sunday, but then rocks up with 24 points for you across Fulham and Luton, job done, mate. Job done. So I wouldn't let Trippier lock it in. So it's more than the injuries for me. Similarly, right, Udogi, if he gets booked tonight, he's suspended for Newcastle. From a fantasy perspective, I obviously don't want him to get booked tonight. From a fantasy perspective, fine. I've definitely got him for Forest Everton. And it would make my mind up to go, okay, fuck this. Let's get Porro in now. Have Porro for Sunday. And then I've got the double Tottenham defence for Forest Everton, for example. So again, it's another thing. I can't give you my final definitive decision on what I'm thinking now. But I would need something drastically bad to go wrong tonight for me to wild card, I think. EMPTSD says, is it time to just get rid of Diaby and Cash with this? They're seemingly much less predictable minutes. I thought Darren Malloy summed it up really well in a comment he made to someone on Slack earlier today. Spacey said, like, look, yeah, sure, they might come in, back in, but you've got a player that's been benched willingly for two games in a row. They ain't first choice anymore. So the two very different games from a tactical perspective, Bournemouth and Manchester City. So the worry won't go away. Might come back in the team Saturday, but the worry is not going to go away from you. So it probably is, but it's also subject to your plan. So can you, if you're wildcarding in 19, can you manipulate the next few weeks to bench that and just gather some information? You may also, Ian, find it difficult to sell those players in 18. For example, take me as a Matty Cash owner. If I get to 18, he's still part of the squad. Starting him. Even if I don't think he starts, I'll probably start him. And you might find yourself in that same position. So eventually, as per what Darren said, you're going to need to deal with it at some point. And the correct call would possibly be to deal with it. I would deal with Cash first, would be my take, purely because Leon Bailey is so injury prone that if he gets injured, Diaby will be straight back in the team and there's not a doubt about it. Even though they're playing a different position, he would go straight back in. Lee Sherwood says, hi, mate. Cut the questions to you. Firstly, best Boomer replacements for seven or less with wildcards still to play, tempted by Tavernier or other short terms. My goodness, I wasn't expecting anyone else to mention him. That's interesting. I think I've covered Lee. So I'm going to skip, if that's okay, pal. I've kind of covered off nearly every team and the players under consideration. I can't say a lot more than that at the moment. Ian says, in other news, just walked into the work kitchen to find a load of pastries there to be taken. What's your pastry of choice? I like a nice apple turnover. Nah, none of that hot apple shit. Apple pies, I've never been a fan of. Sausage roll, isn't it? Right. Sausage roll. Steak bake, chicken bake. Bake this, bake that. Lee says, second question, best Cash replacements for 4.8 or less. Livramento and Pau Torres come to mind. Don't fancy you, doggy, as I got Porro. That's fine. I get that. And also the four yellows. So I'm do it again this way. Players under consideration to replace Cash. So Porro, fine, but cheap ones. Yes, Livramento. I think Pau Torres, yeah, is a really good shout. He's the only Aston Villa outfield player to didn't create a chance yesterday. He's an unbelievable statistic. If not needed in game week 17, Harry Maguire is not terrible, unbelievably. Because he's going to keep playing at the moment, isn't he? The Chelsea guys, forget it, I think. Not keen on West Ham. Dawson, I don't mind. Again, probably don't look at 17. 16, 18 doesn't feel terrible. Forest is a mess at the moment. Can't do that. And the one person that I thought was a shoo-in start the games for Fulham didn't last night. So for me, he's basically back around to that, isn't it? Livramento, Porro, Torres. That's where we're back to. And the reason Torres is, that is a certainty that he stays in that team. The only reason he won't play is injury. Carlos is a little bit cheaper, but way riskier. Way riskier. Not worth it. Ezri Konsa also will absolutely definitely play. If it bothers you, you couldn't say with certainty whether it's right back or centre back. But Konsa, I suppose Ezri Konsa as well comes into that. I also know, and I spoke about this on something I did earlier in the week or last week, that Luka Dean is on 4 yellow cards. And if he got booked at Brentford in game 17, hello, Alex Moreno, instantly. And this is where I tried to explain this earlier this week about Tottenham first. Now, this week's gone. Tottenham first, then get some Newcastle information, then Villa. That was my thought process. Now, if I need to fix a defensive problem, it might be that therefore, okay, Pedro Porro is possibly going to be the answer. I don't know if I can do it. What transfer did I make this week, last week? Oh, yeah, I do have money to do it because I bought in that dickhead Nunes instead of Watkins, didn't I? So, yeah, that might be the most likely one. Porro to cash to Porro, I think. For the defensive ones, I wouldn't go like Romero. You could go Ben Davis. You might think that's all right after tonight, you know. Cheap. Again, if you're wild card in 19, it's not bad. If you're looking longer term, that's a non-option completely. I would also kick myself for making that boring call. But if you need an enabler and you don't think you're going to end up with three Tottenham anyway, sure. Bruno says, if wildcarding now, team selection. I kind of did it. Defensive ones are a pain in the ass, but yeah, it probably would be Salah, Son, Saka, Gordon Palmer, maybe. Haaland, Watkins. I'd arguably at this minute in time now maybe go Solanke. Then that gives me great cover through 19. Then that's the option of what I said, just benching Haaland. Then under that circumstance, I would maybe honestly take a punt on like John Stones. Porro would definitely go in. I would go Pau Torres at the moment. Saliba would stay, definitely. And I'd possibly, subject to the money, I'd probably go Livramento to use for 17 to 19, I think, at the moment, and realise that might be a problem going forward. And then Sanchez Johnston. Now, whether all that's affordable, I've no idea because I've not looked at it, mate, but there's rough 15. I suspect it doesn't work. I suspect. Lee says, also, love the Tottenham RCEP. You had Clayton on a string. It's a good day yesterday. It went on a bit. Me and him do have a problem where we talk, but we're both passionate about it, aren't we? So I hope you've enjoyed some of the longer pods this week, and I'm sorry that they have been a little bit long at the same time. Oh, hello, Andrew. It says, Trent's butt crack, please discuss. Yeah, saw it. I think we all saw it. And it assisted Virgil van Dijk. Not literally, but we all saw it when he went inside the corner. I didn't study it to say, like, great bum or anything like that. Gary says, hi, mate. Is Wifey playing FPL properly this season? She's currently above me in the Christmas League. Fucking hell, Gary, what have you done, mate? It's the usual with the wife. And what should I do in my team? And I'll say something. And then she goes, he's not even on page one. He's not a middle person, or you know how it is, right? So, oh, Gary, that's bad. I might get to play serious now. Mind you, I'll probably make it worse. Bruno says, need to run, but I'll listen to the audio, hopefully upload it. Yes, it will be, mate. My wildcard question was for a buddy, since I don't have a wildcard chip, but it'd be interesting to hear your selections. Good luck, your Spurs. Thank you, mate. Rhino says, afternoon, Josh. Do you think Trent is now a great option, or is he just having a great run of variants? Poor defence is not worth 8 million, that's for sure. Absolutely that, right? If James McAtee scores early on at 0-0 yesterday, or if they give the penalty, like, how good is it? Is Sheffield United away? I'd be honest, for that money, I'd want a fucking clean sheet and an attack in return. Good, well done. My case is the same. Like, look, has he over the last 4 weeks proven worth that money? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Did he in the 10 weeks before that? Absolutely not. And I'm afraid to say, it's the same answer for me, that until Robertson's fit, I don't know how you pay the money for him over Tsimikas. It's just too wild a difference. Oh, Shumikas didn't play yesterday. Someone off the bench, whatever. I've got Jamal Lascelles off the bench tonight instead. Shumikas will start at Palace. He's not worth near double Shumikas. He's not. I'm sorry. If you're on him, great. You're going to keep him. I think, wildly, he again offers up as a captaincy option possibly this week. I had him fifth on the list for this week. So, you know, I acknowledge what he is. You lot all know me and my thoughts on Trent and what he could be. Laughing about his price, you know, at the beginning of the last season and stuff. But it's so many cheap options. Not that, you know, let's even do it a different way. How are you paying 3 million more than Gabriel? Like, or, you know, 4 million more than, or 3.5 million more than Livramento, 3 million more than Porro? Like, now you're doing it, personally. So, no, it's not for me. If you're on, good luck. You're certainly going to stay on for the next few weeks. I certainly wouldn't sell. I would clarify that. And we'll be best defensive asset in the game this week. I get all of that. Absolutely zero interest at the moment. I would add a small caveat that wildcard 19 and knowing that Salah's going, if Liverpool win their Carabao Cup quarter final, subject to some of the dating of the FA Cup games as well, I wouldn't rule him out of a wild card for me as a potential make weight for something later on, i.e., you know, instead of Son, we go right Trent, then we'll sell it down, come back to Son. I don't think so. I really don't think so. Tom Reynolds says, hi, James, on wildcard 19, considering rolling 16, playing Torres, then 2-3 transfers in 17, Bumo to Son, and Darwin Nunes to a sub 5.9 striker. Is Fulham's Raul Jimenez an option for game week 18? Them two goals that Raul Jimenez scored last night were great, right? And he's very quickly gone from Carnet to Bandor to scored at Villa, hit the post at Villa. Dave obviously started scoring goals, although it's worth noting that he didn't score at Liverpool or didn't score against Wolves. But the two finishes last night were really good. And particularly with the second one, the confidence of the way he takes it on is natural for him. And by default, and the fact that they play Burnley at home in 18, of course, is an option. You got the number 9 at home to Burnley. It doesn't even matter. It is, of course, that's an option. It is definitely an option. So, yeah, I wouldn't rule that out as a possibility. That I look at it and go, what do I want to do here? I want a 1 week punt for a forward. What's my best option here? Obviously, if I've got Watkins in place, that goes without saying. But yeah, Jimenez, yeah, it would only be on the day for me in 18. It's also a good one. Someone like Jimenez is a good one, you know, if you got that wild card afterwards. You won't want to look at it afterwards. Oh, okay, I went Jimenez for 1 week punt. Didn't work, wild card. Reiner says, what was the atmosphere like at the Etihad? Could the crowd sense you getting back in the game and did they rally? They could sense it, yeah. I think so. I think that there's the psychological edge, weird thing that Tottenham have with City, that there would be an awareness of that from the City crowd, that, oh, these lot again. So I think that in itself, did they rally? Not really. The atmosphere wasn't great, I didn't think. But I've always said this, when I went there in the Champions League quarterfinal, I thought it was outstanding. They were loud that night. Especially when Sterling scored the fifth. No, it wasn't great. I get it. It's tough. You only have to listen to Johnny. And it was always a fear for me when we had the final against Liverpool. Not a fear, but you just think, I don't know, like, if we win this, will anything ever matter as much as, again, because this would be the peak. Would anything else matter in the same way? And if they do it again, they do it again, right? If they don't win the treble, they've not had as good season as last season. And it's nearly impossible that they win a treble again. Not two in a row anyway. I mean, if they do that, then we generally would be talking greatest club team of all time, arguably. So I get it, right? And that motivation might be seeping through with some of the players at the moment as well. They have got their own issues. You know, Johnny was keen to point out the other day that De Bruyne's a big miss for them as well at the moment. I get that. We do forget. Rhino says, last one, do I have to give Bruno Bournemouth or should I get Palmer to catch his price rise? Want Trippier in 17, so money does matter. Good luck to Spurs tonight. Thank you, mate. I'd probably give it to him. I'd probably give it. I mean, you can make the two transfers for free next week, right? If it's a deal breaker, then make the move. But you might find Trippier comes down in value if you picks up a fifth yellow. So worth bearing that in mind as well. Sweet Blues says, some update on Boomer. Thomas Frank quoted in The Athletic saying he's out for weeks and it's bad. I don't know how bad. I refer back to what I put in the Brentford Slack channel this morning, which was, and all I put was prediction. I don't think he'll play at AFCON. And I think I said in the advanced video this morning that it reminded me of the Bentancur a little bit. And that he might be out for sort of 2.5 months. Sweet Blues also said, going to be Boomer to Foden to me unless I hit a wild card. Feel like he should start. Just bear in mind 18. Foden, I did think about a little bit today because I agree with the sentiment on him starting. But I've got enough other problems going into 18. But he would be the one for the next two. I agree with that. I agree with that. This is the first time that I've actually felt, yeah, I want to, my team's in a bad way all season. It's the first time I've felt like, yeah, that wild card's useful now, and I'm pleased that I've still got it in pocket because there's going to be fires to put out, I think. And I haven't felt that all season. To be honest, a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking, I might even get to 19. I feel like I don't even need this. But it'll be used, and as long as there aren't major injury issues tonight, it'll still almost definitely be 19 for me. Right, that's the cues done. I think that's it, guys. Lots of love for the Advanced and Intermediate Plus. We'll have Nico's Corner out for you shortly, which is Nico trying to get my passport taken off me basically this week. It's a quiz, basically, where he makes me, because I love being made to look a fool of, makes me look like one. He does me over, to be honest, this week. So I hope you enjoy that. That's it. Thanks for joining the stream, guys. Very much appreciated. For the benefit of those on the audio, cue music, please. Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.